Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 247 of the Canadian Football Countdown, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network and the Alternative Football Network. I'm Ryan Coop, here joined this evening by the great Adam Stewart for another CFL offseason roundtable discussion. No top five or top 10 topic this week. We bounced around a couple of ideas. Honestly, wasn't super excited about any of them, so we'll take an opportunity to chat about some of the topics that have gone on over the last little while in the CFL offseason, because this is probably our final real offseason roundtable update on offseason news until we start getting into draft season, season preview content. We are just a month and a bit away from the start of the CFL preseason, Mr. Adam Stewart. How are you doing tonight, and can you believe we're almost there?
Yeah, I can't believe it. I mean, time really has flown this offseason here. We're going to get to preseason stuff. We've been talking draft a little bit in the background. I know in the NFL, they've been talking lots in the draft right now. That means CFL one is right behind it. And boy, this is when the exciting part of the season starts up. So looking forward to it. Of course, that also means that it's springtime out in the great provinces of Saskatchewan, Manitoba, which means I'm going to be in the field soon. So yeah, lots of cool stuff happening.
Yes, then we can get reports from Adam live in the field.
I promise I won't try to go and play too much while I'm driving in the tractor.
You have done some shows from the top of the tractor, or was that the combine before?
On the top of the combine the one night. That was an interesting evening. And I have done it in the tractor a few times, but we'll try to avoid that if we can, so.
Yes, for sure. You're talking about springtime there. The weather here in Manitoba has been all over the place. Plus, 20 degrees last weekend. Great weekend. Spent, the entire weekend outdoors, pretty much. And yesterday and today, there's been snow again. So,
No, Saskatchewan's the same way. I mean, we were nice. It was all melted out. We went and we were getting things ready to go. And yeah, today's -2 with a wind chill of 5. And it's white again.
Yeah, great. It's great. Gotta love it. Let's see. Today, topics ahead on today's show. We've got some major news on one of the guys we put in our top five running backs in the CFL just a couple weeks ago. Major injury there. We'll talk about that shortly. We'll talk about the CFL preseason broadcast schedule has been announced, and teams have been starting to announce their home game themes this season. We'll get into all that. We'll take your comments and questions throughout the night as well. Thanks to our presenting sponsor, Game Time TV. We are live on our various feeds. You can learn more at gametimetv.ca or facebook.com/gametimetvmb. We've got Trey hanging out. He couldn't make it on air, but he is hanging out in the chat while also simultaneously doing other things. A man of a very busy man, that Trey Colbeck, hanging out in the chat here. So make sure you send in the comments and say hello to him as well. What else we got?
I guarantee he's eating a pizza right now.
It could be. You never know. I mentioned the running back countdown last time out on the podcast. We counted down our top 10 wide receivers around the CFL. Make sure you go back and check that out as well. There was a lot of fun debate on those ones. Coming up, like I said, next week, CFL draft preview. The draft is April 30th. So next week we'll do a rundown. It won't be your extensive in-depth knowledge on all the prospects necessarily, but we like to get into the team needs and try to project based on that what sort of direction we might think the teams will go. So look forward to that coming next week. Before we go any further, we do want to acknowledge that the Canadian Football Countdown is brought to you from Treaty One Territory, traditional territory of the Anishinaabe, Cree, Ojibwe, Dakota, and Dene peoples in the homeland of the Métis Nation, as well as from Treaty Four Territory, traditional territory of the Cree, Soto, Dakota, Lakota, Nakota, and Métis Nation. If you want to see additional content in between these episodes we're doing weekly, check out the Discord community. There's a link in the episode description. It's free to join, and you can chat alongside us and other listeners. More and more CFL talk, NHL playoff talk, I'm sure, is going to be common. I know Y'all like to chat about those Toronto Blue Jays that I have know absolutely nothing about, but that goes on in channel there as well. Horse racing, UFC, anything and everything between. We've got conversations going on there. So come join us in the Canadian Football Countdown Discord with the link in the description. All right, let's get into talking some CFL here today. No, it looks like No Trey is not eating a pizza right now. He's working on the horse race and stuff. So make sure you check out all of his great content on that as well. CFL stuff here. Let's start off with the devastating news of one part. Let me see. A running back that I had number four in the CFL for this season. Trey had at number three, and you had at number five, and that is Devontae Williams of the Ottawa Red Blacks. Suffered an Achilles injury in off-season training slash practice, it sounds like, this week. He's going to be out for quite a while this season. That sucks.
Well, I mean, you know, we had that in Saskatchewan just a little while ago when we had, 2 years ago, I believe it was, Larry Dean and a bunch of others were injured just before training camp, and I think every one of them was gone for the season, and Devontae Williams was going to be a big, big piece of this offense going for the Ottawa Red Blacks this year, seeing as they got a brand new quarterback in Drew Brown out there. He was supposed to be kind of that guy that's going to be your steady rock a little bit to try to move the ball when they needed to, and now he's injured. And what is with Ottawa having injuries to big key positions all the time? Last year was Jeremiah Mazzoli, and the year before it was Jeremiah Mazzoli. Luckily, it's not a quarterback this time, but, man, I mean, losing your running back, they don't have a lot. Again, I don't think they really have a whole lot of depth behind Devontae Williams that I know of. This is ugly for the Ottawa Red Blacks. There's no question about it.
Yeah, I would say quarterback, oddly enough, is one of the positions they could probably most likely handle an injury to because they have so much depth there, right, with all the guys they still have under roster. Yeah, Devontae Williams was definitively going to be the guy this year. I mean, it was a 1,000-yard rusher last season. Looking at the Red Blacks roster, they've got Jackson Bennett under contract. You know, we've seen small flashes from him here and there. Canadian running back, I believe. Other than that, American Raquel Armstead, Kylan Hill, American Tyler Hoosman, Amilcar Polk, who is a national, kind of round out the rest of the running backs currently on Ottawa's roster. There was a tweet from New Riders post-game show expert Justin Dunk of Three Down Nation earlier today, this morning as well, saying he expects those three Americans to kind of compete for that number one running back job in training camp. So it's a tough loss with Devontae Williams. I'm sad because I thought, yeah, he was a breakout guy. He was one of the top fantasy running backs late in the season as well. You know, electrifying runs from him. It sucks to see anybody go down this early, but they always say, you know, running back is a position where you can go out and find one names easily, right? Like, stars are made at the running back position every season, it seems. So, you know, we don't really know the names of a lot of these guys right now, but that's not to say they're not going to be a 1,000-yard rusher in their own right at the end of the season, right?
Well, exactly. And I mean, Jackson Bennett did have some moments there with the Ottawa Red Blacks last year. He did get some fair runs. And you got to remember, there's actually probably some free agent running backs, and it's nice and early in the season. You haven't started any sort of training. Well, informal training you're doing. I guess he got injured on that. But no formal training camp is on yet. So you do have the opportunity if you're general manager Burke, I believe it was. He has some moments that he still has to get a player in if he needs to. I know that he was injured, and that's why Calgary couldn't sign him. But Jamal Morrow is still around. I mean, he might be able to clear, maybe. Might be an option. There's some other guys out there as well. That who knows, you might get an option at least then. You also will have some guys that'll be also released from camp. And there's usually always one big name running back that always gets released from a training camp. And everybody's shocked. So, hey, Ottawa has some opportunities here to still bring in a running back. You're right, Ryan. There's piles of running backs out there, especially American running backs. So I wouldn't be surprised if either Ottawa brings somebody in, or you're right. Maybe Justin Junk is right on this one. Just they go with Bennett and the other crew characters to see what they got first in training camp before they see if they need to make a move.
Yeah, I think that's, I'm glad you brought up Jamal Morrow, because that was a guy I was thinking about as well. He was a really good rusher last season, still, Jamal Morrow. But it seemed like he, kind of fell out of favor in Saskatchewan. They wanted to get their guy in AJ Ouellette, and I thought he was going to be a big piece. I thought he was going to be a big piece that should go somewhere, but he seemed to be kind of underrated, that he's not really talked about in that upper echelon with those other free agents that were all trading places. It was kind of like, is he going to be the odd man out, and where's his starting job? He wants a starting job. Is he going to get it somewhere? No, I had him pegged to go to the UFL. Then Calgary all of a sudden tries to bring him in to compete with Peyton Logan for the backup role behind Dedrick Mills. And I guess decided to go the other direction because he failed the physical there. I know there's a question about that in the chat there from Trey. So, Jamal Morrow, I think, if he is actually healthy, which I have concerns of now based on him, the Stamps not signing him, I think could be an interesting name to consider there. Other ones, just looking at, our old free agent tracker, which I haven't updated in a long time, so it might be a bit out of date. Greg, your man, Greg McRae, Adam, is still unsigned. I know he kind of plays that slot back role, but he's been a running back role as well. Shannon Brooks was Edmonton's backup last season. I liked what I saw from him at times. Did he go off to the UFL?
You know what? You might be right, actually. Now that I think about it, I thought he did go somewhere.
I thought so too, but I don't see any news on that. So maybe I'm just thinking about how he got released. But, there's a couple guys still out there. Like you said, training camp cuts. Interesting, I started looking at the mock drafts because the draft is coming up in a week, right? And is this enough for the Red Blacks to look at the running back position? Shout out Marshall Ferguson to CFL.ca with his mock draft from a couple of weeks ago here. For the first three rounds, only one running back listed on the list there, which is Michael Chris Eich. Who had pegged going to Edmonton in, I believe, the second round here from Delaware State. So, is that – there's that a direction Ottawa goes? There's not very many running backs listed. He's the only one here in the first three rounds of this mock draft. But I don't know if that's based on the talent of the guys at this position, or that just a lot of these teams are locked in where they're at running back and want to focus more on some of these other positions there. So – there's a ton of potential ways that Ottawa could go and find themselves a replacement for Devontae Williams. I think Trey had sent us earlier today how long it was going to be, 11 to 12 months, according to Derek Taylor. So, that's basically the season for Devontae Williams. So I could see them going a temporary, find a guy in camp, find a guy who's cut for this season and hope he can come back stronger from his injury next year.
Yeah, I would think that they'll probably find a guy for this year. Again, if it's one from internal, if it's Bennett or somebody else, I think that's what they'll probably look at first. I mean, although I just took a look at the draft, picks or who it's the order is. Ottawa, I don't think, would ever use a number two pick on a guy for a running back, but they do own the number 11 spot for a pick as well. By the time you get to the second round, sometimes the CFL is kind of just you're picking for the sake of picking the best player. Might be a little bit of a jump for this kid, Van Eich, I think it was. But if you look at his stats, he's not a small player by any stretch of the imagination. He could fit in pretty well in a running back position. I'm just taking a look at his size one more time while I'm thinking of it. 6'2", 225 pounds. He's a big guy. He did play with the Delaware State Hornets. Maybe We might have to talk to Brandon a little bit earlier, either in our Discord channel or wherever, and ask him what he knows about this pick. Michael Chris Eich is the name. See what he knows about him and see if he's worth maybe the Ottawa Redblacks taking a look at.
Yeah, for sure. You know, we talk about are we going to see training camp cuts potentially? Well, we're going to find out in just about a month's time when training camp gets underway. And also to segue to our next topic here, so does the CFL preseason later in May there as well. The CFL, I guess, has released its broadcast schedule. And according to an article from Three Down Nation, they've got only two games showing on TSN this year, which it seems to be less and less than usual or each year. Montreal in Ottawa on Friday the 31st, and then I guess Edmonton at BC the same night. So if you're looking to watch on TSN, you better be available May 31st, because that's the only preseason action it seems you're watching there this year. But CFL Plus on the CFL website will be streaming the remaining games, it sounds like, again, which they did last year. It was their first time releasing the service last year. It was choppy at times, for sure. But I liked it. I liked it last year. The way they did it is they, I think, had the video feed from the stadiums with the radio broadcast crews actually doing the commentary on it. And I think that's a great way to do it for a lot of these preseason games.
I think it's a great idea as well. But first things first, let's get to TSN. Your guys are the national broadcaster for an only exclusive broadcaster for a whole football league. It's again, because you bought the rights for it, you can do what you want. But boy, I sure hope that part is reviewed in 2027 when the new contract comes up and explain to them, hey, if you're going to broadcast us right. I mean, I don't think that's very fair for CFL that they have to go and make up their own thing just because TSN says, eh, we got better things to watch. TSN, you don't have the rights to the NHL. You don't have very much rights to the Major League Baseball besides Monday night, I think, or Sunday. What are you posting on May 31st? Honestly, the TSN, you got to do better than this. You should be highlighting this league in way better than you do. I can guarantee when the draft starts, you're going to do the first two rounds and you're going to go off and not bother. You'll do something on TSN Plus or on TSN.ca as bonus coverage if you really want to watch it. You make the league feel like it's a tiny little league. Honestly, it's just as good as the UFL, and I guarantee the UFL is getting better coverage down in the United States. So, anyways, now that I'm done ranting at TSN, I'm good on CFL.ca and CFL to show at least the in-house broadcasts and videos and everything. That's at least something. The radio broadcast, it helps. Honestly, I usually mute the play-by-play guys just because, again, you want to kind of look at it yourself and feel like you're in the stands. So, if they didn't even have the play-by-play guys, I'd be just as happy, to be honest with you. Overall, though, yeah, it is a little choppy. Hopefully they improve a little bit better and they have a little bit better quality and a few other things. I know the Rough Rider one looked good last year when I watched a little bit of it. Same thing. Also, kudos, I think it was to Hamilton. I think they really did a nice job on theirs as well. But overall, I think it's a great thing that CFL.ca is doing it, at least. It does anything to highlight your league. I'm just disappointed that your national broadcaster can't step up and do something like that.
While you were talking there, I pulled up the TSN broadcast schedule, and I can't go all the way to the 31st of May on their schedule, but you know what? I picked a somewhat equivalent Saturday, April 27th, just to see what's on TV at these times. Let's see, on that day, or on Saturday, May 25th, the CFL has four games. These are all in Central Time, Central Daylight Time, so Manitoba time. 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and 6:30 are the game times. Let's see what TSN's got on the broadcast schedule. They got on TSN 1 an MLS game, and then a bunch of Sports Center like half hour topics of top comebacks, March plays of the month, best and worst celebrations, etc. On TSN 2, 7 p.m. 2023 CFL plays of the year. Not really sure why we need to watch those when we could be watching the 2024 preseason, but okay. Let's see, a lot of the same, some hockey championship stuff, on TSN 3, but this looks all reruns to me. And then they do have NBA playoffs, later in the evening. TSN 4, a lot of NBA playoff stuff, and TSN 5, a mix of NASCAR, lacrosse, MLS, and, 9:30 PM CFL Wired 2023 Grey Cup. So, I know, and I know some of these channels, like, they have different rights in different provinces and stuff, but it seems the broadcast schedule, I don't know what they do with these five channels. I've never understood the purpose of them, of the way it's structured, and really the purpose of what TSN2 does, because it's always just the random filler content. And let's make CFL preseason that random filler content. I like this comment here from Tim in the chat as well. Considering the league has TSN Plus also, there's no excuse for not showing the games, even if they are streaming. Yeah, they've got that streaming service, which I still, outside of NFL Red Zone, don't really understand what TSN Plus is used for either. But I also haven't done my due diligence on researching that, to be fair. So I don't know. I think I agree with you that TSN should be broadcasting it more. It is an interesting take from Trey here in the chat saying, I don't think it's TSN. I think it's the teams wanting to sell tickets.
No, it could be, but I mean, I'll put it this way. They know that they don't sell a whole lot of tickets for preseason, no matter who it is or what it's going on. I think the one time in Saskatchewan I remember a lot of preseason tickets sold was after the Riders won the Grey Cup in 2013. They played the Ottawa Redblacks for their first game ever in Saskatchewan, and it went well because it was a new team. It was a new exciting thing. The Riders just won the Grey Cup, and I think there was 29,500 tickets sold, which was huge for a game, for a preseason game in Saskatchewan. But in all honesty, that's the last time I ever heard of it ever hitting over 20. Yeah, they sell them with the season tickets, but honestly, I don't think it's really care.
The interesting thing looking at the preseason schedule is Bombers and Riders kick it off on Monday, May 20th. That's the only game that day. And then Saturday, May 25th, there's four games. And Friday, May 31st, there's four games. Do you think them all being on the same day, is that just for equality across the league? Like, I know you have to have that one earlier game because it's the nine teams or whatever, earlier in the week, but do you think that's for the equality of, like, okay, it's roughly equal amount of time for training camp cuts? Or it seems odd to me that you, especially if you're going to stream them on CFL Plus, why are we putting, you know, all four on the same day necessarily?
No, I agree. I think that's probably what it's about, is something for fairness at training camp. And so every team is done almost at the same time, but, I mean, surely you could put two on one day and two on another day. I mean, otherwise now you're just going to have people browsing through and just kind of glancing at games on the TV, I mean, or on your CFL Plus. I don't know. To me, it's not a great setup. I think they could have moved it, at least had some on Saturday, had some on Sunday, or had some on Saturday, some on Friday. To me, like I said, TSN always wants to push Friday Night Football. Well, there was an opportunity. Could at least had two games on Friday Night Football.
Yeah. Or Thursday night. We love our Thursdays.
Yep. Long live the Thursdays. I mean,
long live the Thursdays. Exactly. Going back to the CFL Plus side of things, though, if TSN's not going to broadcast the game, I really like having it on there with the play-by-play guys, because – you know, these are the guys that are more closely following their teams. And preseason games are tough, right? Because, you're going to have the starters play maybe a couple series, and then you're going to have the backups come in, and then the third string, and then the fourth string. You know, if we're having the national broadcast crews go in and out of these, like how engaged are they going to necessarily be in that versus, like, you talk about, you know, Derek Taylor here in Winnipeg, for example. Like he's very engaged in it because he follows the team closely. That's his job, to broadcast about this team and watch this team at practice and training camp and stuff like that. So I like the idea of having the radio guys do the broadcast. And I think there's a lot of them that are really, really good at their jobs. As well. And I do enjoy listening to them. I will generally myself always turn to the TV broadcast if I can instead, because I like the visual side of it. But it's kind of nice to have that hybrid version here where it's like, if I'm not able to watch on TV, I do like listening to the radio crews. So it's cool to get to watch the footage and their audio combined.
Yeah. And that way there you get to learn some more about some guys that maybe aren't covered here as much in the CFL sort of realm. I mean, most times you're used to hearing Glenn Suter and everybody complaining about him as a color guy and Dwayne Ford. And yeah, this is how you get some new guys in as new blood in there, maybe for TV broadcasts as well. I mean, there's some great radio announcers. You're right, Ryan, that do this league and that follow this league really closely. I guarantee that Dave Thomas in Saskatchewan will be all over this team this year, especially because he's from Saskatoon. He's probably going to go up to the training camp, although they haven't announced yet that they're going to Saskatoon. I'm sure they will. These guys here follow these teams inside and out. They make sure they know these teams real well. They always announce the training camp winner of training camp, and they've been following real close for probably 2-3 weeks. So it's good to see them actually talking a little bit about the players that are out there. And, yeah, if there's some battles or something, they always try to point those out too for you. So I like it that they have the radio announcers. Myself, I just turn off everybody on that because I just don't really – some days I just want to look at the number and look at the player and make my own opinion on them. That's why I kind of like going to preseason games because all you get to hear is just who's in for quarterback, and the rest of the players, you got to look up yourself if you really want to pick out who it
interesting,
is.
Interesting, interesting.
Yeah. The other one also is I'll just go through the comments here a little bit. Trey, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers have a are they going to have like a, because it's in Princess Auto Field now, is there going to be a surplus section of Bombers just on the side of the field that they could pick out for like $1.28 or whatever it's on sale? I mean, they might need to.
Hey, they finally got the sign on the building finished this week.
Yeah, don't get me what that said for a while there. Troy Westwood would have been proud. Anyways, Tim, yeah, sorry to remind you of those. And honestly, Trey, you're completely correct. There is nobody that's going to be Buck Martinez out there, but there's very few that can follow that act, I think, for sure.
Well, speaking of the radio guys, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't Dustin Nielsen, who I would say is the best TSN broadcaster there is right now, didn't he start in the radio game? So,
and same thing also with Marshall Ferguson. I think he started on Hamilton TSN radio, and then he moved up as well, and not sure if Mike Hogan did. I think he might have as well from Toronto. I don't think he's done any TSN games, but I know Hogan is another one that was doing TSN radio broadcasts for the Argonauts. So
yeah, so it's nice to see, you know, some of these guys transition to the TV side of things. And they bring a new life into the broadcast crew, so I like that. I also like that bringing these things into, the streaming world, right? Like we've talked about the after the deal with TSN is over, that, you know, where are they going to go then? You know, TSN, do they always put the effort in that we want them to for games? Not necessarily. So I think that we've talked plenty of times in previous episodes on the podcast of, do we get a streaming deal of some kind in the future? And whether that CFL builds their own or whether that they, you know, sell it off to a company to do so, I think exploring that online streaming service through these preseason games is beneficial for them as well.
Yeah, and, you know, I wouldn't mind if actually they would allow a streaming service to take them over completely by themselves. If they... TSN don't want them, well, okay, we'll give it to we'll give those streaming games to Prime or to Netflix or to somebody that wants to try it. I mean, is that really, I guess it's probably a violation of the TV contract. I'll take a guess, and probably TSN would be like, yeah, no, we're not letting you shop. So I would predict they'd never let them do it. But one thing that I could say is, you know, there is a another, I don't know if you call it a league or not, but World Wrestling Entertainment is actually going all out and going to Netflix next year for their Monday nights and Thursday night shows. They won't be on Sportsnet. They won't be on TSN. They're going to be on Netflix. So, and that's in Canada, in the United States, in the United Kingdom. So it'll be very interesting to see how that does. Not quite the same as the CFL, but it would be very interesting to see what that what happens there. We've seen one game already. I think it was one of the wild card games this year. It was on Peacock for the NFL, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be very interesting to see what happens there. The ratings seem to be there, so maybe that's an option as well for streaming.
Yeah, the NFL is just like, it's going to get to a point where it's like you need to subscribe to a different streaming service for every single playoff game, right? It seems like that's the direction that's going. And I hope that's not the direction we go here, right? Like, yeah, you mentioned Amazon got some games, Peacock does, YouTube might have its own, like, yeah, it's all over the place. They did that Disney broadcast this year. I see Trey talking about, or Nickelodeon, sorry.
Nickelodeon that's was the one, Tim.
That was great. I love that. I want a CFL broadcast like that. Hey, I didn't watch the whole thing, but I saw the clips on social media, and I thought that was genius.
Hey, as long as I could see Chad Kelly get slimed, I'm good with it. Anyway, no comment. Anyway, yeah, no, honestly, it's good to draw a different crowd in, right? Different demographic. I'm sure probably 5 to 10-year-olds were just loving the whole thing. And you know what? They're slowly getting introduced to football. That's the big thing.
And I mean, I don't know how far we want to get into this topic, but in the world of AI taking the world by storm, you can't tell me you can't do some like unique broadcasts that take like the football action and overlay it using AI to do something like this, right? Like, I don't know how much AI was used in that type of broadcast or not, but I feel like it's something they could leverage pretty well to make a broadcast pop.
Yeah, and I mean, the NFL, or not the NFL, the NHL actually was doing it this year. They were showing it off like it was NHL 94, some of these games. And I was just loving it. I mean, it was great. It was fun to watch. Yeah, honestly, I would take it. So, you know, there's AI is such a cool thing. I can't wait till they actually get Genius Sports, you know, using it all. That would be pretty cool, like they say they're going to do. But, yeah, it's be cool if the CFL jumped in on that a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. Let's try to get stats working before we go down the avenue of AI for the CFL, okay?
Yeah, it'd be nice to have stats first, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think we're quite that advanced yet. Let's try to get off of the PDFs to the to a regular stats website first.
On a side note, yeah, CFL Tecmo Bowl, I would take it all day as long as what was the cheat code in that one? I can't remember. It was a running back that they had that just could not be tackled in Tecmo Bowl. But I can't remember his name now. He was an Oakland Raider. But yeah, I'd love to see that. That'd be awesome.
Well, speaking of fun watching football, transitioning to our next theme, next topic here, which is themes. Teams have started announcing their theme game lineup for the season. Let's see, we've got Montreal, Edmonton, BC, Ottawa, and Saskatchewan have all announced theirs so far. Could not find any for Calgary, Toronto, Hamilton, or Winnipeg, although Winnipeg's website says theirs is coming soon. I thought it had been announced, but I guess not. Theme games. I know there are differing opinions amongst the podcast crew on these. In general, what are your thoughts on teams kind of theming their home games?
You know, I like it. It's not a bad idea to get different portions of the fan, that makes more engaged. I like some of the themes. I like some of the ideas that are coming out. But overall, I don't think you need so many. I mean, you don't need one for every game, every time. To me, I think you can probably get away without. You can do like 3, 4, or 5. I think that's maybe okay. But there's certain games, like Labor Day. You should not need anything to sell out Labor Day. You should not need anything to sell out the Banjo Bowl, for example. There's no way you need anything like that. I think, like I said, there's certain ones that are real good. Like Aboriginal Night, I agree with, like Trey just mentioned in the chat. I think that one's a good one, the Canadian Military Night. Those are ones that you got to do to get your fan bases involved. But some of these, I mean, we'll get to them right away, the themes. They're just pokey and kind of silly. But also, while we're doing this too, in the chat, make sure you mention, if you got a good name for a theme night or a good idea for a theme night, put it in the chat. We want to hear it too. So,
yeah,
while absolutely. We're going through this.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm much the same way. I like them if they're going to bring in an audience, and certain ones will do that, right? Like, I think of, you know, sometimes they'll do Family Day or Kids Day, and it will involve, you know, special things. Like, I know in Winnipeg here on Kids Day, they've had the Trace's Canadian Football Countdown Night. Anybody teams that haven't announced theirs yet, hit us up. We'll come to a podcast live on the field. No one will show up to your game.
Podcasters' night. There's just everybody becomes a podcaster.
Yeah, everyone already is. You know, the kids ones, I like that. They had like cartoon characters. Like, I want to say like some of the Nickelodeon or Disney characters, like in costumes here at games for the kids. I like that when they do things like that, because that is going to make an impact. You know, a kid's going to come to the game and have a really good time because of these things. And maybe they sit and enjoy the football while they're at it. And then they ask their parents to come back again. I like that because I think that has an impact on the future generation. Then you get to, you know, the standard ones like, oh, let's do a country night or things like that. How many people are necessarily coming and buying tickets that weren't already because the stadium's going to play country music that night, right? Like, yeah. If it's not your crowd, are you much more likely going to go to, I don't know, a country bar or just listen to country music?
And my thing is here, I'm going to bring up the first one for Saskatchewan. Green is the color night. Are we kidding me here? I mean, do we need to be reminded on July 19th that when we're facing the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, that we all need to wear green? I mean, I was ready to wear purple or pink or yellow polka dotted outfits. I mean, really? Come on, guys. That's just laziness is in your part. And again, I agree with you there, Ryan. I think they changed the name from, what was it called there back in the day? Country Night for Saskatchewan. Now it's called the Prairie Proud Night.
Nope.
We all know what this is. It's Country Night with a different name. Tim in the chat actually brought up, too, that, yeah, I'm interested in seeing how they're going to go, too. The Al's 50th anniversary celebration for the 74 Grey Cup. I think that's cool. And they're going to have a unique jersey. They're going to do some little things with them. That's kind of neat. So I like that one. The Riders did a 89 Grey Cup celebration once. It wasn't really announced well. It wasn't really a theme back in the day. But, yeah, it was kind of neat. Actually, I got the picture of the Grey Cup team and with all their signatures on it. So that was kind of cool. But yeah, and then the other one there, Al's Beach Party theme. Hey, it's a cool idea. If it's a really hot day, get everybody wearing their beach clothes. Why not? I mean, I can guarantee you that, like I said, it'll probably be a big night and everybody will be involved in that. That's a different idea, at least, than Country Night. Again, you do Country Night in Winnipeg or Country Night in Saskatchewan, we're in the country. We all know what we look like in country stuff. I mean, I don't know. To me, I'll say Saskatchewan's was very lazy written. Except they have a mustache and gainers, so that's cool.
Well, now I know green's the color, so that's informative at least. I'll try to
make sure the Bomber fans come in green instead of blue and gold. We're just warning them in advance.
I'm going to put a reminder in my calendar for July 19th to remind me green is in fact the color for that night. And that night only. After that, they better not wear green any of these other home games. right? Like, remember, otherwise it's falling flat.
Saskatchewan was actually Saskatchewan originally was silver, red, and black. So,
see, I want the tongue-in-cheek ones. Like, somebody host a bowling night when playing the Riders.
Well, the BC Lions actually have one with that. They have the Watermelon Smash Night, so...
That one's pretty good. I like that one. That I really like that one. The other side of things, like, I kind of agree, and we were talking about this just in our own private chat earlier this week, that I agree with what Trey was saying. There were a lot of these things, you know, should you not just do them in every game, right? Like even some of the kids stuff, you know, have a kids, you know, have a kids section. And I know I'm speaking about the Bombers, obviously, because that's the only stadium I've been to. And, you know, they've got a tailgate area and there's kids activities before the game and stuff there too. But, you know, really lean into them having kids stuff at games for things like these Legends Nights or, you know, Blast of the Past. Like, you know, have these commemorating moments in every game of commemorating something from the past as well. I think if you've pooled a lot of these things that are standalone themes together and put it into every game, you have a pretty cohesive product there at the stadium. I love what the Lions did more than these themes last season. Was it last season or the year before where BC seemed to have a different, like, kind of big name concert going on at halftime every time? And they were, I mean, some were bigger than others, right? But they had that halftime entertainment that was different each time. So to me, that's more interesting than necessarily the theme of a game. Loved when the Bombers did, they had a magic show or like an escape artist at halftime last year. Outside of when the Dogs get to run around on the field, single best halftime show I've ever seen at a game. That was cool to watch. Things like that. And yeah, when they let the Dogs run around and do tricks, like, okay, that's when I'll stay in my seat at halftime. I'm not going to go stretch the legs for that one.
I'll be honest, the one that I think I sat around for was when the sheep broke out of the containment area in Saskatchewan and started running all over the field. I mean, that was great watching. Same at Calgary. I mean, when the rabbit gets out and starts running around, that was great. I just love that. That was fun. I don't think that was a show, though. I think that was just part of the game, if nothing else. But BC, you know what? They got a couple cool ones. The Gravy Bowl is back for Thanksgiving. Thank gosh, that was a great one. Last year they did it against Winnipeg. This year it's against Calgary. But they got that one. They've got a big one there for the beginning. I think it's, where is it here? The concert kickoff? Or June the 15th. I think they're probably going to have a big, big band there. So they have really good attendance at their pregame rallies. Where did the old-fashioned tailgate night? Literally, just do a tailgate. There's just no tailgating anymore, except for maybe, what, 2-3 places?
I don't know. Don't most places, maybe not something official. I mean, Winnipeg has something official. I think Edmonton is really pushing that a little more this year as well.
Toronto, maybe?
Yeah, Edmonton says they've got a new Elks fan park going on. I know the folks over at the Turf District put on a great tailgate. So there's a lot of really good fan tailgates in a lot of these cities. I don't know how many of them have official tailgate sections. It's certainly not what you'd see for like college football in the States, which is a beast in and of itself. Speaking of Edmonton, I think they have the most creative theme games for this year. And you know what? They have to do fun and exciting things to bring people back into the seats after what they've, the struggles they've had. I'll run through theirs quickly. They've got, I mean, the first one's their home opener. I mean, that makes sense. You know, just have it be your home opener. I don't know if you need a theme for that. They've got a 90s night. Okay, I've seen that before. This is my favorite one of them all. Dino Day with the caption, kids love dinosaurs, adults also love dinosaurs. Why not make a day of it? Dinosaur activities around the theme park and hosting the world's first inflatable T-Rex combine at halftime. Yeah, this is a game I'd want to go to.
What is a T-Rex combine?
You know those, like, those giant inflatable T-Rex suits? You ever seen somebody run around in one of those?
Yeah, I've seen those.
Yeah, so I don't know how they're going to do a combine, but with that all, but I assume it's like a 40-yard dash in one of those suits, and you know who can jump the highest in one of those. Yeah, I want to see that. Indigenous Celebration Day. You talked about that a little bit. I fully support all of those kinds of heritage and Indigenous Celebration Days. I love those orange jerseys in Winnipeg that they do on the night when they do that as well. Okay, Edmonton's got a country day. You lose some points for matching everyone else with that one, but I'll give it to you. Family day. Yeah, I like the family games. Campus clash. You were telling me a little bit about what this one's all about.
Yeah, so essentially there's three universities and a college or two in Edmonton, so they're going to compete against each other, the U of A, Nate, and I'm not even sure, I can't remember the other name of the college there, McEwen, I guess it would be. So yeah, it's kind of cool that they're all going to compete. They're going to discount the tickets, $15 tickets and everything. I think that's really cool as well. You're going to get a cool atmosphere in the crowd. And yeah, this is going to be a fun night for those college and university students. So that'll be really cool to see as well. Not even sure what else they got there. Probably there'll be a probably some sort of scholarship given out, I'd imagine, all kind of stuff like that. Yeah, be interesting to see how it goes. But that one's really cool. Another one that
supposedly on this date last year, I think they did this one last year. I think they gave away Taylor Swift tickets for as a prize on that one. And supposedly, according to their website, they're working on something just as big. So I don't know what's as big as Taylor Swift right now. But
yeah, for sure. They also have a couple other cool nights, Edmonton. They have the Hollywood Night, which is, unlike the NFL, our games aren't scripted. Just beautiful, Edmonton. Just
that side note, that scripted NFL commercial is the best.
I mean, I'm loving the Edmonton Elks marketing guy right here. I mean, we're rolling out the red carpet, not for the Rough Riders on Hollywood Night. I mean, superhero laser tag inside the kid zone. I want to go and be in the kid zone. I mean, it would be great to be doing some of this stuff here. Walk the red carpet, strike a pose as you hit the stadium.
The second half's going to start, and they're going to be like, where's Chris Jones? And then we're going to cut to the camera of him playing laser tag inside the game. So.
Then yelling at some kids because they beat him. Anyways, honestly, they've got some great themes. They got a spooktacular night there on October 25th. Pumpkin carving, pie eating contests. I mean, this is like Edmonton's done, honestly. I think you're right. They've done the best job of these themes. There's none of these that just feel like they're kind of half made up and it's pretty much just come to the game. Unlike a certain other team that I know wears green. So, yeah. I think they've done a great job, Edmonton. Take a bow and hope you get a lot of crowd out of it.
So, you know, we talked about AI earlier, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I thought it would be a fun little adventure here to see what our friends over at ChatGPT suggest for Canadian football game theme nights for us.
Oh, no.
So I did ask the good old ChatGPT overlord before the show today to give me 10, their top 10 suggestions for CFL game theme nights. One was Retro Night. Okay, that's been done a lot. Superhero Showdown, that was in the list that I think one of the teams had there. Carnival Extravaganza, turn the stadium into a carnival wonderland with game booths, carnival rides, and circus performers. That would be pretty cool, a circus performance at halftime. Neon Glow Party, light up the stadium with neon lights. I feel like the Riders have kind of done that before, right?
And they're giving it up this year. Last year, they always used to do a blackout night, and it would have been cool to do glow night with that. They've given up with blackout night this year in Saskatchewan, mainly because we don't have any games in the dark, I guess.
Fantasy Adventure, transport fans to a realm of fantasy with a themed game night inspired by mythical creatures and epic quests.
So you're saying we got to have a Harry Potter night.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Space Odyssey, a luau night. That's kind of, I don't know, maybe the beach theme is kind of that the a Alouettes are having. Under the sea, dive into an underwater adventure with a sea-themed game night, decorate the stadium with decorations, and have seafood specialties.
Toronto, we're calling you.
Yeah, yeah. Film festival night, movie-themed costume contest, and gaming extravaganza. Set up gaming stations with popular video games, game tournaments, etc. Not bad, but I thought they could do better. So I continued to prompt ChatGPT for more suggestions and asked them to get a little crazier and said, we really need to sell extra tickets as part of these, to which they responded, absolutely, let's dial up the excitement. Here are some wild and attention-grabbing home game theme ideas for CFL teams. You want to know what the first one is?
Oh, gosh. Well, I have no idea. What is it?
Alien invasion.
Yes. Yes.
Stage a simulated alien invasion at the stadium, complete with UFL props, extraterrestrial actors, and special effects with smoke and laser lights. I'm in on this already. Number two is Dinosaur Derby. So, you know, the Elks got it. Zombie Apocalypse Night was another one on the list.
Wow. I was about to say something smart about the Bombers, but I won't.
Hunger Games Night, says Tim.
Yes, Tim. Yes, Tim. That's great.
Yeah, only
the odds be forever in your favor on that one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, time travel extravaganza, decorate it back into the old times. Circus Spectacular came up again. Wizarding World, I guess that's another variation on the what we were talking about earlier. Giant food fight. Turn the stadium into a massive food fight arena with designated battle zones for fans to engage in friendly food fights using soft biodegradable food items.
You couldn't afford to do that anymore. I mean, have you seen the prices of stadium food?
Can you imagine folks just chucking those Walby burgers at each other?
Walby burgers versus the foot-long foot hot dogs.
Yeah, it's perfect. Extreme weather challenge. Embrace Canada's unpredictable weather with an extreme weather themed game.
That's like every Winnipeg game the first one of the year.
Yeah, yeah. They all the lightning delays. Any game that involves the Hamilton Tiger Cats and the Edmonton Elks, pretty much. Remember when I predicted a weather delay last year?
Oh, that was insane. I mean, that Hamilton-Edmonton game, has it ever even restarted yet?
Yeah. I don't know. Is Ben Cahoon's halftime ceremony done?
About the same theory now.
Crazy costume carnival and glow in the dark rave, where it's out of the box ideas for the CFL game theme. Honestly, like, I don't hate some variations of this. I'd like them a lot more than some of the bland ones we've seen.
Glow in the dark theme, I'll give it credit. That would be a great one. Any team that has a night game and you could take the lights off on the crowd, man, that'd be cool to see. I think that'd be great. But
glow in the dark jerseys as part of it.
I mean, guys go and try to hit each other and all you can see is their jerseys. I mean, you guaranteed to eliminate the headshot. Maybe.
Probably not.
Weather delay night. Yeah, no, we have those last two. those are getting to be an old theme.
Do you have any other ideas for theme game nights, Adam?
I mean, I don't know, Farmers Appreciation Night, so we can get in for free.
Oh, yes.
Drive your combine in and get a appreciation sticker. I don't know.
Combine races on the field.
Oh, I would pay to see that. Combine demo derby right in the middle of the field, right during the halftime. Except when the players get back on and there's a piece of a concave laying in the middle of the field. But nevertheless, some of them are okay. Those GTP ones, actually, I like those. Winnipeg should do the Beer Snake Night.
Yeah.
They've done it before.
All the teams in the UFL are just adopting that now.
The Beer Snake?
Yeah, I feel like I've seen that from like a couple of teams in the UFL, which I mean, they're probably not adopting it from Winnipeg. They probably don't know Winnipeg exists. We're trying to put it on the map as part of this podcast, but for all of our UFL friends. But, you know, I keep seeing talk about the beer snake, but I feel like the Winnipeg one from way back when was the real deal.
That's kind of cool. Yeah, Winnipeg was an originator on that one, and I think they should really bring her back and see if they can bring a new world record on that. The other one also that I could say is maybe a comedy night. You have a comedy act at halftime. Everybody likes to laugh, especially if your team's losing by 40.
If you're the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, you don't need to book a halftime act for that.
Yeah, fair enough. Can't argue that one for the last few years. But yeah, I like some of these ideas here.
At first I did ask just for 10 ideas for game themes for Canadian football teams, and it really embraced the Canadian aspect of it before I fine-tuned it. So it gave me 10 ideas that were specific to Canada, like a Hockey Night in Canada night and a Maple Madness night to celebrate Canada's iconic maple leaf with a maple-themed game night with everything maple-flavored. And maple-themed games and activities. What's a maple-themed game?
Is that like with the Toronto Maple Leafs and then getting eliminated from the playoffs?
Yeah, choking hazards or?
Yeah, like you put choking hazards all around the rink and golf clubs.
So anyways, ChatGPT, you know, maybe we're not advanced enough to start using it into like broadcast models, but maybe teams can start using this for coming up with their theme game ideas. That was fun. I should try to come up with a different way to use this on the show more regularly. If anybody has ideas of how we can more integrate it into the show, that would be fun.
Tim, I like your idea too. Pro wrestling night games. I mean, all we need to do is just have AJ Ouellette go out for halftime and take on some big guy in the crowd.
Okay, I got it. AJ Ouellette and Dwayne The Rock Johnson comes in back to his CFL glory days.
Is that Joe Hanoi from the Edmonton Elks coming in as well?
Sure, yeah.
Also known as Roman Reigns in the WWE now.
I know nothing about wrestling. All I saw was, I don't know, what was it, WrestleMania recently? I saw Dwayne The Rock Johnson was involved in that.
That one big guy named Roman Reigns, he used to be an Edmonton Elk.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It would have been fun watching The Rock versus him because, I mean, it would have been Stamps versus Elks. It sells itself in Canada.
Yeah, for sure. Get him wrestling with AJ Ouellette at halftime.
Or Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. I mean, that'd be a good fight.
Yeah, for sure. That's what Tim's suggesting in Montreal in the chat there. Game themes. Interesting topic. We'll see what these other teams come up with yet. Maybe they'll use some of the suggestions we talked about on the show today. I don't know. They're probably not listening, but if they are, hello. Any other CFL topics you want to talk about here, Adam?
I think I seen one today that was just, you know, very bland and, you know, probably not a big thing, but yet it could be really quite a thing for down the road. The CFLPA has joined in with the Labor Union of Canada, I believe. They're a charter member or they're something like that. It's the first time that a professional league's player association ever joined in with this, that they're a charter member of this Canadian Unions Association. And I know that as per Sportsnet, Suresh Madani, he said this could really have some big effects in player negotiations down the road. The NHL is actually watching what happens of this because they're kind of interested with the NHLPA. So can't tell you a whole lot more about it because I don't know all the details and I don't want to sound too silly here. But could be an interesting thing coming up down the road in the CFLPA kind of things. Other than that, I haven't really heard a whole lot else for CFL news. That's all I really got for CFL. What about you, Ryan?
I'm just so happy that we're not talking about labor disputes right now, which we, what was that, 2 years ago? That was right after you and Trey joined the podcast. Yep. That we had our CFL is back celebration night, and then the CFL wasn't back. And then we did CFL is back celebration night 2.0 like a week later. What a gong show that was. It's nice to be talking about actual football and talking about themes for games that possibly going to. Yeah, I don't have any other CFL major topics right now myself. If anybody in the chat's got anyone to quickly touch on here at the end of the show, throw them out in the chat. We've got a couple minutes here still. I did see a non-football question from Trey earlier. In the meantime, Adam, I think this is curling related. How do you feel about Botcher basically getting booted from his team?
How does Team Botcher lose team or lose Botcher off their team? They just can't be Team Botcher. It's as simple as
that.
Are they
just team? Are they just team?
Yeah. So like they're the first. Lead the second and the third voted out to skip, which is Kevin Botcher, off the team. Well, usually name it after Skip. The team name is usually the Skip's name, which is Kevin or which is Botcher. So how does Team Botcher kick off Botcher off the team? Team Botcher. I'm not saying that again. Don't ask me to. Nevertheless, I don't know. I think that other the lead and the second and the third, I think they're a pretty good crew already. I guess they decided they needed a different skip. They'll find another one pretty soon. Also, Glenn Howard retired this week from professional curling. Don't know how I know that. I've seen it come up on my feed one day. So congratulations to Glenn Howard on a great career in curling, I suppose. Another thing that has happened, the Winnipeg Jets, or the OG Winnipeg Jets, are now moving to Salt Lake City, Utah. Last game last night, they won 5-2. And the Board of Governors of the NHL approved the movement of the Phoenix Coyotes or the Arizona Coyotes or the original Winnipeg Jets to Salt Lake City to Utah to go and see.
About dang time.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. This one here took a long time. Although there's also stipulation that if they can actually get a stadium built in Phoenix or in Tempe, I guess it is. Sorry, it's a suburb of Phoenix. They might have a chance of going and, you know, getting another team because the NHL has to expand.
Yeah, it's going to be 5 years down the road and we are going to have a team back in Arizona and a team back in Atlanta. What are we doing here?
Meanwhile, Quebec City with a brand new stadium is sitting there and saying, can't we get one of them? I think they're saying something else, but I can't say that in French right now. But nevertheless, Quebec City. I mean, that's a beautiful option for a new NHL arena. I mean, Videotron Arena, I think it's called. Just a beautiful arena. They've got the people in Quebec City now that would love to have an NHL team. They could have stable ownership. It's terrible right now. Yes, you thought of the one I was thinking of, Trey. I guess also congratulations to Cody and Laura Fajardo. Guess they got a baby coming.
Woohoo! Exciting. Good for them.
Remember last time you had a baby coming? Cody hit the upright.
Oh, is that foreshadowing for this year?
Dun, dun, dun.
Well, this time he's got a Grey Cup to celebrate with. So, do we know when the baby's being born? I'm just trying to look at the CFL schedule because he is getting a lot of sleepless nights. As a father, I can say he's going to be tired. And will that affect his performance at a certain time of the season? No, of course I joke on that. But sincere August. Congratulations August. To Cody and Laura Fanchardo. August. Okay, we'll keep that in mind once we get to our picks in August, I guess.
Yeah, just in case we, you know, somebody has to go running out of the stadium at halftime or something. And also, you know, probably not getting much sleep.
Yeah, I will. I'll put that reminder for our picks in my calendar for July 19th on along with green is the color.
Yeah, make sure we have that mentioned in there as well. I mean, why did they do green is the color tonight on when Fajardo's back against Montreal?
Oh, yeah, that'd be interesting. Cool. That's exciting news. What else were we talking about? We were talking about the Arizona Coyotes, yeah. Right? That's where we were before we got that news. it's about dang time. But also, like, I've seen so many videos of and you know, posts from fans that are actually Arizona Coyotes fans, and they're devastated. I was too young when the Jets moved away from Winnipeg to care or even know what they were. So I, you know, wasn't impacted by that, but I know a lot of people were. And it sucks for the fans, no matter what, to have your team leave. You're going to have the diehards, even if, no matter what, even if it's only a smaller bundle of them. It sucks to lose a team.
Yeah, no matter which way it is. One crazy little stat that actually I was telling you, everybody on the Discord channel of ours. Shane Doan's first career year was 1995-1996. It was his rookie year, and that's the year the Winnipeg Jets moved to Phoenix. His son, Josh, is currently with the Arizona Coyotes, and his first rookie season was this year. And now the team's moving to Utah. So if you want to go and move your team, just get one of the Doans to play a rookie year, apparently.
I did see some talk that he was playing with the AHL team for most of the season and wasn't really expected to be brought up to the NHL. And that people were speculating that they knew the winds of change were coming and quickly brought him up at the end of the season so he could play with the same organization that his dad. That is his dad, right?
Yeah.
That's, yeah, okay. I wasn't sure, 100% sure on the relation.
Yeah, no, it's his dad. So that was kind of, like I said, just a neat little stat that, you know, is crazy and obscure, but kind of crazy that it happened. Want to do some playoff predictions for the NHL right now? We got our quarterfinals starting here.
Oh, yes. Yes, let's do that. I love this end of show time during the off season. You know, we can never go less than an hour and a half, apparently. So.
Yeah, I mean, we may as well embrace it. It's going to be an hour and a half.
Where can I find the NHL playoff? Do we know what the matchups are? Yeah, we don't. Well,
it's no, we should know most of the local matchups. Time. I'm just looking here. NHL quarterfinals.
Hang on, I'm pulling up the bracket. We don't know what any of the Western quarterfinals are going to be.
Nope, not yet, technically. Although we can probably predict it. Let's just go with it here. I'm just trying to find that.
I will preface this. I've not watched a single hockey game this season. So any of my predictions here might be way off. Or I'll look like
we know of one series already in the West. But I'm not sure if we know many others. I'm just trying to pull up the...
Winnipeg, Colorado is locked. I think it can go back and forth in the West of who Edmonton plays.
It can, but it's pretty unlikely. Let me just look here. I just got to pull up the standings.
Try to pull up the NHL website on the desktop view. I don't like it. Don't like it.
I really don't like it. I go with TSN, honestly. To me, it's the easiest to work with. I'm just looking here. Yeah, so Vegas and Las Vegas and Los Angeles are the two that could change yet. Nashville's locked into that position. So yeah, it's gonna be Dallas and either Los Angeles and Vegas. Vancouver is gonna be taking on Nashville for sure. And if we look here, Edmonton's going to get Vegas or Los Angeles, and then Colorado and Winnipeg are locked.
Okay, so let's.
Let's start with the two we absolutely know. We'll save the one for last though, because I know the Winnipeg fans will be jumping up and down on that one. Vancouver and Nashville. We'll go with those two. Thatcher Demko, the goaltender for Vancouver, will be back. Nashville's been hot though. Soros hasn't been the greatest, but their forwards and defense have been really hot.
Didn't Nashville win like 20 straight or go like 21-1?
For a while there, they were hot. Yeah, they were on a one game losing streak, but they honestly were really, really hot for a while there. They've slowed down a little bit, but not much. And of course, Vancouver's kind of your surprise team of the year. Vancouver kind of won the Pacific, and that was not expected.
I'll give it to Vancouver. One Canadian team's got to make it out of the first round.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm going to go with that's a tough one. I'm going to say probably it's going to be a six-game series. I'll go with Vancouver. I think you're right. They're going to go with Vancouver on this one, too. Okay, then the other series that we know definitely, I said we'd do it last, but we'd know this one for sure. It's the Winnipeg Jets are going to be, they got home ice against the Colorado Avalanche. I mean, pretty obvious which way I'm going to go. I mean, it's my team. I have to go with the Avalanche.
The Jets are the most confusing team in hockey. Like, the good start to the year, our annual collapse, gotta love it. Then they went 8 in a row to end off the season. But then part of me still feels like they're going to choke in the playoffs like they do. But you know what? I'll give it to the hometown team here and say they're going to beat the Colorado Avalanche in the first round. We'll see if that actually happens. Okay. So I guess two Canadian teams making it out of the first round so far.
So it's very tough to predict what's going to happen because both the Vegas Golden Knights and the LA Kings are playing right now. Chicago's beaten LA somehow 1-0, and Anaheim has beaten Vegas 1-0. So it's so hard to say which way that's going to go. Currently, we'll go with what it is currently. Vegas and the Oilers would be playing each other right now. Oilers obviously have home ice. What do you think of that one there?
Give me Vegas just to have everybody angry.
I like it.
I think Oilers fans will burn the place to the ground if they lose to Mark Stone off long-term injured reserve at the Vegas Golden Knights.
I'll be honest with you. I think the Edmonton Oilers will burn the place to the ground if they don't make the Stanley Cup this year. I think Edmonton is all in. If they don't win this one, there will be people hanging from the rafters from the team. So I'm going to go with Edmonton. I think there are probably a little bit deeper. Hard to say, though, if they get Hannafin back and they get all those other guys that they have on LTIR. I mean, literally, the Vegas Golden Knights are pretty much called the Vegas LTIRs by now. I think they have a chance, but, I mean, it's going to be kind of a gamble.
I love that somebody else is getting garbage for the Caps or convention now and not my Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah, because you guys don't have anybody anymore. I'm going to go with Edmonton on that one. I think Edmonton's got a good chance, which leaves us Dallas and Los Angeles. What are you thinking of that one? Dallas is the West Division leaders this year.
Yeah, so. give me Dallas. Dallas.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Dallas too on that one. LA's got the pieces to keep it all together. They need one more year, and then maybe they'll be a little better. Okay, we'll move over to the East. Let's go with the first series, which is the New York Rangers. They're the President's Trophy winners. They're going to face the Washington Capitals and Alexander Ovechkin chasing glory.
I feel like either of these teams choke against each other every single year, whichever one is like higher in the standings when they play each other. But also, like, how close did Washington somehow back themselves into a playoff spot from what I was reading, right? Like, it came down to regulation overtime wins. I got to give it to New York.
If John Tortorella wasn't a bonehead, it would have been the Detroit Red Wings because Tortorella, with 4 minutes left, hey, let's pull the goaltender. Anyways, he was already eliminated from playoffs. It was just, honestly, you'd have to ask him why he did it. I don't know why.
Washington made the playoffs with a minus 37 goal differential.
I know. They're pretty awful. They're awful, man. They're awful. I mean, you look at some of these teams like Detroit or even Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh didn't deserve to be in the playoffs. Detroit goes, scores a goal with 4 seconds left to try to even give themselves a chance to be in the playoffs. And then Philadelphia ruins it for him. So, yeah, I feel bad for Detroit.
That was wild, though, by the way. I saw like the highlights and stuff. That like second last day of the season, all three teams in the race won to keep them alive to the last day.
Yeah, I know, it was insane. Trey said the Rangers. I'm going to agree with him. Shesterkin, I believe, is their goaltender's name. I think he'll win it for him. Next series that we've got, let's go on the other side. The Battle of Florida. The Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning. I think this is just going to be a war.
I don't think it's going to be close.
Really?
Give me the Tampa Bay Lightning once again. The homer pick. I don't do it for football. Give me it for hockey. I don't care how good you are in the regular season. The amount of playoff experience one team has over another is insane. Over the past number of years, you don't get that from finishing high in the standings the regular season. I think Tampa's got it.
Nah, I'm going to disagree with you on this one here, namely because Andrei Vasilevsky's injured.
I didn't know that. Okay, well, so I'll still do it.
You're still
another 37 assists for Nikita Kucherov.
That part I could believe. You know what? I just don't have much faith. I mean, they slammed the Leafs last night, so maybe they're going to do something, but it also is the Leafs. Nah, I'm going to go with Florida in 7 games, and they're going to beat each other to a pulp.
I will admit, though, I'll back off on the homer pick a little bit that it may be destroying them and not even close was a bit of hyperbolic of me, but definitely a little more nervous about this team than years past, obviously. They've had a bit of a rough year compared to normal, but
fair enough. Yeah. No, I'll agree with that, but I still think the Florida Panthers will win this one in the end. Nothing else. Matthew Tkachuk's going to be just probably that annoying pest that he was all last year in the playoffs. So let's go on to some of these Metropolitan and Atlantic Division series. Carolina and New York. Carolina has the home ice. The Islanders are the other team they're going to face.
Carolina and the Islanders. Hey, give me Carolina.
Carolina, eh? Okay. I'm going to agree with you. I think Carolina is probably a better team this year. Although it pains me that I'm taking Carolina over Patrick Waugh.
This is going to be the most boring first round series of them all. I feel like they played last year and it was just boring hockey.
I think it's going to be a little better this year just because I think St. Patrick's going to jump on the bench and start yelling at somebody because he's that intense. But yeah, I don't see the Islanders winning this series. Unless Sorokin pulls one really out of nowhere. And he's done it. I think their goaltending's better in Carolina, but Carolina's got Gunfel and all those other pieces in there. I think that they're probably the one that's going to win this one. And of course, that takes us to our last series. The Boston Bruins are going to be taking on the Toronto Maple Leafs over in the Boston Garden. Probably going through the harbor. Okay, I'll stop my Boston accents.
That was brutal.
Nevertheless, Boston, Toronto. What do you got, Ryan?
Weren't the Leafs fans chanting, "We want Boston" last year? They got them this time.
Oh, weren't doing that. They were actually chanting, "We want Florida," and then they get beaten 5 games.
Well, Austin Matthews scored 69 goals on the season, and that might be his score on the golf course in a week. So give me the Boston Bruins.
I don't know why I'm doing this, and I don't know why I'm going crazy this year. The Toronto Maple Leafs will break their curse against the Boston Bruins. They'll win it in 7 games. They'll win it by 4 goals just to take the curse off it. And they're going to move on to the next round. The Maple Leafs are somehow going to win this series because they've been terrible since pretty much all of April. They'll somehow win this series against Boston. Boston hasn't been great either, but Boston has the better goaltending. They have the better forwards, I think, and they have the better defense. But somehow Toronto's going to win this one. You watch. So I'm going to go crazy and go with the Leafs.
All right. Should we just leave it at our first round picks for now? We'll revisit them later on. That was fun.
Unless you want to say you're way too early Stanley Cup champion, at least.
Oh, I'm not knowledgeable enough on it this year to have a good pick on that. I ramp up my hockey watching around the playoffs. I'm just too busy during the regular season normally to find the time. But so I'll be more educated once we get to round 2.
Fair enough.
Do you have a way too early Stanley Cup pick?
Well, I got my East and West ones. On the East, you're going to hear me say something really silly, crazy right away. So if you don't want to hear insanity, go and plug your turn off your audio for 2 seconds here. The Toronto Maple Leafs are going to make the East champions, and in the West, I think my Avalanche are going to win it. I really do. I think they're probably one of the deepest teams in the conversation left. Plus, also, I think they're getting a Gabriel Landeskog back, because we're going to be the LTIRs this year.
He hasn't played in like 2 years. Is he actually going to play?
Sounds like he's ready to go, or he should be ready for playoffs, which that's crazy. But I guess we'll find out. Hopefully he's ready. Be nice. Yeah, we'll find out soon enough with him. If he does, well, boy, that's a big pickup for the Avalanche. I'm going to go Leafs Avalanche, and I'm going to say the Avs will win it, and the Maple Leaf fans will riot in Toronto.
All right. Trey says he's been on the jet train since October. We're now at the revisionist history section of the podcast. I don't think that's been the case, but
maybe he meant the New York Jets.
Oh yeah, you know, until four plays into the season when Aaron Rodgers went down.
Well, it came out to "I'm a real American," and that just gets slapped.
All right, let's get into wrapping things up here. Fun night here. Lots of fun chat here on the CFL, and then, of course, these other topics to wrap up the show here. Trey's all in on the Jets. This is usually the time of the year he jumps in on the bandwagon. So, all right. Well, like we said earlier, we'll be back next time on next week. We should be back with a preview of the CFL draft that's coming up. So I guess I should start studying and learning a little bit at least. Like we said, it won't be extensive on the prospects, but it'll be good to check in on where teams are at, what they might do. So we're going to do that next week. Look forward to that. Timing of our live streams is always a little bit up in the air just based on all of our schedules. So I would say the best way to get notified when we're going to go live with these, if you want to join us live, is to subscribe over on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/@CFCountdownPod. It's there on the bottom of the screen if you're watching, and you'll get notified when we go live. But it'll be out sometime next week. We'll sit down and record that one, so look forward to that. In the meantime, follow us on social media. You can find the podcast on Twitter @CFCountdownPod. You can find it on Facebook as well, facebook.com/CFCountdownPod. I'll get to what you just messaged me in a second, Adam. Make sure you check out all the other great shows from around the Canadian Football Podcast Network as well. CF Pod Network on Twitter, and Alternative Football Network @TheOfficialAFN on Twitter, or AlternativeFootballNetwork.com. UFL season in full swing. Lots of great content going on over there on all of that. Before we talk about our own social media, Adam, you have breaking news.
Yep, I actually do. For once, 1 minute ago, a Logan Bandy from the Saskatchewan Roughriders, offensive lineman that has been playing starter because, you know, he's been pretty much the only one that stays healthy for a while there. And he was going to probably be looking at maybe starting this year again for the offensive line for the Riders, has announced his retirement from the CFL. So the Riders just lost a big piece in the offensive line in the national side of things. So, yeah, a minute ago, he just went and he posted on his Instagram page. Crazy to think that after all these years, I'm calling it a career. I'm so grateful to have shared the field with so many of my brothers and play for some amazing organizations along the way. I play for the Riders. Thank you for everyone who's helped me along the way. Inmate number 69 out. So he sounds like he has retired from the CFL. Young guy. I know you played, I think, with the Regina Thunder, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, kind of amazing to hear him call it a career. Very young, starting into this for the Riders.
So interesting. Like, we talked about Sean Lemon last week, all of a sudden announcing his retirement. Seems like a lot more often, guys, you know, they go through the offseason grind to get closer to the season and start questioning, you know, do I want to come back for another year or not? And if the answer is no and they want to go off and do something else or it's time to hang up the cleats, I do not fault them one bit. Kudos to somebody for walking away from the game if their heart's no longer in it or if their body's no longer in it physically, which is the case for some. So definitely don't fault them there. Congrats on making it to the CFL, the career you had, and all the best and whatever's next, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like I said, you nailed it right on the head. I mean, if a guy makes it to the show, whether it's the CFL or the NFL, if you played for pro football, you're in a pretty elite club. And Logan Mandy did that, and he did it as admirably as he could, even though there were some tough times for Saskatchewan when he was doing it. He did it as best as he could, and kudos to him, and best of luck with whatever comes next down the road for Mr. Mandy.
Well said, well said. Going back to our social media plugs, you can find me on X at CooperTrooper42. Mike's at Mike Garrell. Supposedly he's going to be back for the preseason. So look forward to that. Believe he was at the Jets game tonight. And apparently there was a Ryder jersey there tonight, according to Kat in the chat. There's a Ryder jersey everywhere. The Coyotes are going to move to Salt Lake City, and you're going to TSN's going to produce a broadcast of like the lights turning off at the Mullet Arena in Arizona, and there's just going to be somebody in a Riders jersey, the only person sitting in the stands there. It's everywhere. You can find Trey at Trey Harness Link. He's got a lot of podcasts. He's got this show. He's got his UFC show. He's got his horse racing stuff. Make sure you check all of that out. He's got links to it all over at Trey Harness Link. And Adam, where can people find all the stuff you do?
Yeah, well, there's two real good places to look it up. Adam Stewart, one on the X or Twitter or whatever the name is that Elon gave it this week. That's one good place to look up information when I've got stuff going on there. You can also look me up on Instagram. That's where I post a lot of things, just posters and pictures and videos and all sorts of fun little stuff about the farm. At farmer_in_sask. I know, original name. There's lots of farmers in Saskatchewan, but I'm the one with the name. So yeah, follow me over there if you want to find out more about farming stuff. If you're more into the sports kind of thing, though, definitely I'll be posting a lot more on X, especially either making fun of Maple Leafs fans, including myself, who picked them to make the Stanley Cup Finals. And yeah, probably also a few jokes about the Winnipeg Jets in there. Sorry, Jets fans, it is going to happen. The other thing also is 5-1 Avalanche after 2 against the Oilers. So,
ride that wave until you get swept in the first round.
That's what I'm going with.
In the meantime, also again, check out the Discord community link in the episode description. Join us for all the chatter going on over there. You can trash talk with Adam and his Colorado Avalanche in the NHL channel we've got going on over there. Whatever podcast platform you're listening on, we appreciate it if you do all the fun things such as like, comment, subscribe, rate, review, share the show with your friends, help us grow the show. We always appreciate that. There we go. On behalf of Adam and our AI overlord, ChatGPT, who chimed in tonight, say thank you for listening. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.